So today we're starting a brand new sermon series, and I'm super excited about it because the title of our sermon series is Go Fish. Not Go Fish Cards, but Go Fish Fish, you know, fish here. So we're going to take some time over the next several weeks and talk about what does it mean to really be a follower of Jesus, and what did Jesus mean when he said fishers of men? What does that imply? And my hope is that as over the next several weeks, as we're talking about this, that maybe we just start opening ourselves up to the whole idea that maybe God is bringing people into our lives at work or at school or in our neighborhoods, that we might have an opportunity to share the gospel with them. And we'll talk about all kinds of different ideas. I guess what I would like to say, though, is the reason I'm really excited about this series is because I love to fish. I mean, I love to fish, and I actually started fishing when I was 5 years old. My mother took me fishing, I think, for the first time that I can remember. At least that's as far back as I can remember, but I have learned how to fish, and I'm actually pretty good at it. I've caught some pretty nice fish here, like there you go. Just a little fish I caught one day while fishing on the river, and for some reason, I have like got hundreds of those in my phone, and I send them to everybody, and my brothers have the audacity to say they think it's the same fish. I just keep changing my shirt, but it isn't. You know, I'm chasing after the state record, and one of these days, I'm going to get, it's one of those bucket list things, but I've learned some things in fishing, and here's the deal I'll make with you. So, because you're my friends, if you hang out here for the next 4 weeks, I'm willing to share a few of my secrets about fishing. A few. But it has to stay here. I can't even write a book about this stuff because then everybody's going to flood the places where I go fishing. I'll tell you where the fish live and what they like to eat and how to catch them and all that kind of stuff. But really what we're going to be talking about is some similarities, you know, between fishing for men and fishing for fish, and there are some similarities. That's why Jesus said to the disciples, you'll be fishers of men. We'll talk about other things, though. We'll talk about the power of your testimony, how a lot of people don't understand the significance of telling their story and how it can impact others. We'll talk about the importance of inviting people to church and how that's such an easy thing to do and the impact that can have. We'll talk about what is the gospel message. So hang with us for the next 4 weeks, and we'll have ourselves a pretty good time and learn about becoming fishers of men. You good with that? All right, let's take a look at a passage of scriptures where Jesus sort of introduced this whole idea. It's in Matthew chapter 4, and this is the beginning of Jesus' ministry. So we find in verse 18, it said, "Now Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brothers, Simon called Peter, Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. He said to them, 'Follow me, I'll make you fishers of men.'" Follow me, I'll make you fishers of men. So I just like this little intro here into the call to be a follower of Christ. And I just ask maybe, what is it that Jesus said when he said that? Like, did he say, "Follow me and your life will be wonderful"? Or, "Follow me and you won't have any troubles in life"? Or, "Follow me and I'll make you a better husband or a better wife"? "Follow me and you'll get the answers to life. You know, follow me and everything will work out." Is that what he said? No, what did he say? He said to these guys, "Follow me, and then right after that, I will make you fishers of men." So the introduction to the call to be a follower of Christ right off the bat at the very beginning of Jesus' ministry is simply this: to be a follower is to be a fisherman. To follow is to fish. There's a direct correlation between these two, and here's Jesus calling these men to become fishers of men. Now, sometimes when you read the Gospels, and especially if you read that passage, you think that that's the very first time Jesus met these two guys. But actually, it wasn't. If you read in the Gospel of John, the first couple of chapters, you'll find out that Jesus had already met Peter. He had already met his brother Andrew. They had hung out together. These men had actually seen Jesus perform miracles. They went to the wedding feast with him. But then somewhere along the line, they just went back to their job, and they were doing their job fishing. And now Jesus shows up, and he says to them, "Hey, guys, this is your moment of decision. Today's your day. I'm calling you to follow me. It was that true moment, which I believe everybody comes to in their lives, and it's that point where you make the decision, am I really in or am I not? Up until this point, they kind of liked Jesus. They knew about him. They had traveled with him, sort of like most Americans today. You know, most Americans today know about Jesus and know about church and know some of the Christian holidays. And this would be about where the disciples were at. But then he said to them, no, today I'm calling you to follow me. Are you in or are you not? And truly, I believe that is a point that every one of us comes to in our lives. Some of us earlier, some of us later. And in this call in particular, he didn't just say, follow me, but he said to them, I want for you guys to quit your jobs and be full-time following me. We're gonna start a whole new movement here, and I want you full-time. Now for sure, God doesn't call everybody to quit their careers. Most people are called to work in the marketplace, but everybody's called to make the decision if you're going to be a follower of Christ. And to be a follower of Christ, there's a direct correlation to be a fisher of men. He's calling them, and he says this throughout the Gospels. One of the last things he said when he had all the disciples gathered around, it's found at the end of the Gospel of Matthew. He said in Matthew 28, go into all the world, make disciples of all people, tell them the things I taught you, baptizing them. And that's called the Great Commission. That's given everybody. Everybody has been called to become a fisher of men. But, you know, sometimes we don't all make that connection. And I think really, probably, I think if we're honest, probably for most of us, when we first encountered Christ, again, some of us became Christians at young ages, some of us at older time in our life, but for most of us, when we first encountered Christ, I'm not so sure the first thing that was on my mind was, oh, I'm going to go be a fisher of men. As a matter of fact, I know for me, when I first opened my life to Christ, now again, I grew up in the Catholic tradition, I knew Christianity, but I had never come to that point where I was going to be a follower of Christ. But I opened my life to Christ, and I experienced forgiveness for my sin and the love of God, and it just transformed me. But it was really all about me. You know, salvation was about me. I needed God in my life. And I think that's true for most of us. We come to that point where you go, I need God. You know, maybe some of us are worse off than others, but there's that point where you go, I need God. But something happens, which is supernatural, because it's first about me, I need God, and then I'm experiencing this love of God, and something comes out of me, and I can't help it, but I want to tell other people. You know, you just do. In my case, I got saved on a Sunday night, and I just experienced such a powerful, you know, infilling of God's Holy Spirit. So the people I was hanging out with, they generally went out witnessing on Monday nights. And so they said to me, hey, let's go witnessing. And it was like, sure, I don't know what to say, but I'll go out. And I remember going out, passing out tracts and telling people, you need God in your life. God is awesome. Those are my deep theological witnessing tools. My favorite one is, you need to turn on to Jesus. Because like it was the 70s and like that's the hippie language and the drug culture, and they look, what do you mean turn on to Jesus? You know, God's cool, but I didn't really understand it, but there was something inside of me, and it extended beyond strangers. I mean, I talked to my family and my friends, and I think it's pretty fair to say probably some of us went overboard. You know, anybody become like a Bible thumper, Jesus freak? I just couldn't help it. You know, the love of God filled me, and I just wanted to tell others. But then there's this period of time where you look back, and it's like, what happened? I don't share the gospel much anymore. You know, what happened to that fire? And then you start getting all these head games like, well, I'm not good enough, or that's not my calling, or I don't know how to do it, I need more training. But really what happens is it's just that fire kind of burns down low. And so my hope and prayer is over the next several weeks we get that fire burning again and realize, yeah, there is something to be a fisher of men. There's something that's powerful. And Jesus used the analogy, and I think there's a lot of similarities between fishing for men and being an angler, a fisherman. So I've got time here this morning. I'm going to share just a few of these thoughts, and we'll see the similarities. But, you know, one of the things I know about fishing, I mean, I have learned this, and it's simply this. If you're going to catch fish, you have got to be persistent. You have got to be persistent. And any of you that catch fish know what I'm talking about. Like, there's times I'll fish. I tend to fish on the rivers, but if I'm, and even in ponds, you know, farmers' ponds and stuff. But I will be persistent, meaning I will cast to the same spot 20 times, 30 times, 40 times. I mean, I will cast there because here's the thing that probably a lot of people don't realize, and it's simply this. Fish are smart enough to know the law of diminishing returns. Did you know that? They kind of went to, I think maybe that's calculus or, I don't know, that's algebra. I don't know what that is. Some science. They go to science class. But they understand this law, and the law of diminishing returns is simply this. If the fish is here and I throw the bait over here, the fish somehow knows if they exert more energy to go get that bait than the bait itself, they're going to lose weight while they go to eat. So the trick is, especially if you're sight fishing, which is what I like to do, I want to get the bait as close as I can to the fish. And so there are certain tricks that you don't want to slap the fish right on the head. I try and drop it maybe 5 feet in front of them and float it down and get it right to their mouth. I mean, it's bullseye fishing. I am all about that. It's persistent. I am persistent because I know they're there and I'm going to catch them. Well, how does that apply to being a fisher for men? Well, here's the thing. If we're going to fish for men, we have to realize that we've got to be persistent. We've got to be in it for the long haul. You know, some days when I go fishing, I mean, it's a wonderful day and my first or second cast, and I hook up and I think, yes, I can hear the hallelujah chorus. It's going to be a good day, you know. But most days it's not like that. It's a lot of work. But I keep fishing. Well, same thing with people. You know, you invite someone to church. Oh, yes, I'll come to your church. I've been waiting for the invite. Thank you. No. A lot of times, yeah, okay, maybe sometime. And then you got to think about how can you get them to come to church again. And, you know, sometimes when I'm fishing, I think of this one time I saw a couple of big old trout out in the river, and I kept flipping my fly there, and it would just float by them. And after about the 20th cast, clip it off, put a new one on, bright red, first cast, bam, took it in. But I was persistent, and also I realized sometimes I got to change my bait. Sometimes I got to just change it up a little bit. And you know, sometimes you see people fishing on a river, they'll beat the river to a foam. They're just whipping it, pulling it in. Well, you're going to spook the fish. You're going to spook them, and then you got to wait half an hour, 15 minutes, so they settle down. You spook people by being weird. You know, you're just going to spook them. Hi, have you asked Jesus into your heart yet? And they're like, whoa, what are you talking about? You know, like a little wisdom. And maybe if I invite you to church on the first Sunday, you know, and they don't come, I'm not going to next time say, hey, you're going to come to church next week. Next time, you're going to come to church next week. Come on, look, they're going to avoid you. You spooked them. You can't spook people, man. You got to be real. And you have to think of different kinds of, maybe the terminology would be bait. Maybe you invite them to a special event, something that they might like. Or maybe they've got little children and you invite them to bring their children to something they might like. Or maybe use different bait, like how about inviting them over your house for a cookout? And they might like that, especially if you're good with the grill, or you invite them over your house to watch TV. But the idea is you're persistent. You are persistent. You don't give up. You don't give up, man. It's knowing that I'm going to get them, because here is something. This, again, is what I believe as an angler. It's what I believe as a fisherman. The reason I am so persistent is because I know that fish are always hungry. They are always hungry. And I now I'm going to share this little secret with you if you don't know this, but they're mostly hungry in the morning because they haven't had their bacon and eggs and a cup of coffee, so they're looking for breakfast. So that's a real good time to fish. And they're also hungry at dinner time, like us. So those are your best times to fish. But I fish all day, because I don't care if they're you know, not necessarily hungry, because here's what I know. If I get that bait close enough to that fish, and it looks like bait, they're going to bite it. I think sometimes they just bite it because it's just a natural reflex. And actually, I think that's why sometimes when I fish and I'll cast a certain hole, I will move, like I'll cast maybe five times and I take a step to the left, and I cast five times and I take a step forward, and I cast five times, because that's different angles, and all I'm trying to do is get that bait right by the fish, because I know that fish will bite it if I get it to him. Well, here's the analogy. I believe this with all my heart. Every man without God, every woman without God is hungry. We're hungry. We're spiritually hungry. You know, the analogy would be everybody has that God-shaped hole in their heart. And now, yeah, some people are more aware of it. Some people are more in touch with their hunger, their inner man, but some people are not. And some people are filling that hole with drugs or alcohol or relationships or whatever it is they can find, so they may not be aware of it. But I know if a person hasn't connected with God, they are hungry. That's just a fact. We were made to have fellowship with God. And until we have fellowship with God, we will wander through life spiritually hungry. And for many people, they're just not even aware that that's what's driving them crazy. But here's the thing. When I am convinced of that, that's why I'm persistent. But also, I'm aware of the fact that I'm not trying to speak to your mind, your intellect, when I'm talking about things of God. Not that I'm all opposed in education and everybody be dumb. What I'm trying to tell you is, if you're going to be effective, speak to their spirit. Speak to their spirit. And then you go, well, how do you do that? Well, first of all, you have to be open to the Holy Spirit of God and listening to God. But just understand, there are things everybody is hungry for. You know, things like not feeling guilty about mistakes I've made, and how good it is to tell somebody, man, you know, one thing I am so grateful for that God has done in my life is he has lifted the guilt of the mistakes I've made off of my back. Man, it is awesome. I'm telling you, you're touching their spirit. Or I'll say things like, you know, sometimes when I'm quiet and there's nobody around the house and I'm sitting on the back porch, man, it's just nice to know that something isn't missing. You know, this is one of the reasons why people cannot stand silence. Because when you're quiet, you start going, something missing inside of me. Yeah, it's God. Or just, you know, things that we have peace with God, knowing that my sins are forgiven. Or just talking about what God's doing in my life, just what God is showing me. And I'm telling you, that's speaking to their spirit. Me personally, I try to stay away from the heady, theological, deep, philosophical discussions. It's just not me. I'm trying to catch a fish, and I'm all about it. And when I'm talking to a man that I know is hungry, and I know a person without God is hungry, I'm trying to speak to their spirit. Again, I'm not going to be weird. I'm not going to try and spook them, but I'm just persistent enough to know this person is hungry. They're hungry. And then just a couple of other quick little thoughts about the similarities between fishing and fishing for men. Everybody that I know, that I hang out with and fish with, everybody does it different. You know, it's amazing. Like some people, first of all, they like to fish out of boats. They like to fish in lakes. Some people like to fish in farmers' ponds. I like to fish in rivers. I mean, first of all, I'll fish anywhere. I'll fish in a bathtub. I don't even care. I just love catching fish, you know. But if I have my preference, I'm a fly fisherman, and so you know, I use this kind of tackle, but everybody uses different tackle. So and then, you know, people that are addicted like me have, like, I'm afraid to tell you how many fishing poles I have, but let's just say it's double digit and beyond. Lots of fishing poles. But see, they're all different. This is fly fishing. I use this, and there's certain weights. So this is a fly fishing pole that I use for, like, steelhead trout that are like 8 to 10 pounds, and it's got the right kind of weight. And the things I've learned is if I add the right kind of pole with the right kind of line, I have a better chance of hooking up the fish. And there's certain rules with fishing. It kind of goes like this: lighter line, lighter pole, more hookups, more breakoffs. Heavier pole, heavier line, less hookups, less breakoffs. It's just things that I've learned, but I use different equipment. If you say, hey, let's go fishing and we're going out in the lake, I'm not bringing this, I'm bringing my heavy stuff. If you say, hey, let's go fishing on some little trout stream, I might bring this is my ultralight, I mean, this is super ultralight. That's like 2-pound test. You can almost break it with your finger. And these are like super ultralight poles. But I can catch lots of trout on this because they don't see the line. They hook up, but I got to play them. I got to play them a little bit so I don't lose them. I set my drag. I let them pull it out. I pull them back in. But the point is, and here's the point. Everybody fishes differently. Some guys, I fish with some guys and they reel their line in really, really fast. I fish with some guys and they'll reel their line in fast, slow down, reel it in fast. They got all these different retrieval things. Everybody's different. Well, how does this apply to being a fisher of men? Here's how it applies. We're all different. And here's the thing you've got to get a hold of. Your life story can be anointed by God to be your method of being a fisher of men. You look through the scriptures, look at all the people he called to be followers of him and to be fishers of men. He calls a tax collector who would not really have good, accepted socially, despised, but he called him to be a fisher of men. He calls a prostitute to be a fisher of men. He calls a lady who was married 5 times to be a fisher of men. He called a man who was demon-possessed and delivered and sent him back to his town to be a fisher of men. All kinds of people. And the point is, you fish differently than the person next to you. And rather than say, well, how does he do it or how does she do it? I'm always learning, but here's the thing. I've got to discover what I'm good at. And maybe I'm better at talking to strangers than you are. And you think, well, that's the way I'm supposed to do it. Well, maybe it is, maybe it isn't. Maybe you're better at talking to your neighbors, and maybe I'm terrible at that. Maybe you're better at carrying your Bible or showing people scriptures. Maybe you're better at handing out tracts. Maybe you're better at talking about music and using that as your tool. Maybe you're better at inviting people to church. Maybe you're better at your story, telling your story. But the thing is, we're all different, and we cannot do it the same. And so here's the point. It's not just the message, it's the message plus the messenger plus the situation that makes us effective. So with fishing, it's the same way. It's not just the right bait, it's how I cast it, where I'm standing, what kind of equipment I'm using. And also, listen, situations play into this a lot. Like when I'm fishing on the river and even when you fish on the lake, if you've got a bright sunny day, it's going to be hard catching the fish. They're down deep. But if it's an overcast day, oh man, they're hanging out. They feel safe. If it's rained all day and you're out there fishing the next day, the river's all muddy and running fast and I can't see a thing. But if it's been clear for a couple days, so the situation and the person fishing and the bait all play into it. It's the same with the kingdom of God. Jesus has invited you, and he will arrange situations where you can reach someone else that nobody else can. They will relate to you and not to another person because of your story, because of how you speak and how you carry yourself. Think about this. People that influenced you in the kingdom of God, there was some connection that we had. I related to that person. They were similar age. They talked my language. They acted the same, and I connected with them. It's their life story. You have a life story. God made you who you are, and he will use your story. You don't have to compare yourself to anybody else. But there is a correlation. Followers are fishers. One last thing, and it's clearly here. It's the ultimate secret to being successful. I'm going to share this with you. He said, follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. In other words, he'll be your fishing guide. So, I've fished all over the country. I have been to places that I know nothing about. I mean, I read books on fishing. I've taken classes on fishing. I've watched videos on fishing. I've been in fishing fly tying classes. But also, I hire fishing guides. I've hired fishing guides for many, many years. And wow, I get my money's worth. they will teach you how to catch a fish. That's their job. And you start going, why do you do that? How do you do that? And after years and years of being with fishing guides, I've gotten way better at catching certain kind of fish. Jesus said, follow me. I'll teach you how to fish. So there's not, it's not a process. It's not like a method. It's not like you can say, if I follow step 1, 2, 3, this is the deal. I think it's more of a, it's a process of relating to Christ. As we follow him, he will be your fishing guide. He'll be your fishing guide. So if we connect with him, the natural outflow should be fishers of men. It can't be, I'm not motivated to share the gospel because I feel guilty. Like, oh my gosh, if I don't share the gospel, I must not be a good Christian. I would rather challenge it this way. If I'm not motivated to share the gospel, maybe I ought to take a look at, am I connected? Am I really connected? Am I experiencing the fullness of the kingdom of God? Is God alive in my life? Is God answering prayers? Is God showing me things out of scripture? Is God helping me process through a situation? Is he helping me with this relationship? Or this, you know, then I will be a fisher of men. My motivation will be the heart of God. Follow me. I'll make you fishers of men. I'll make you fishers of men. So what will come out of us is the heart of God. And my prayer is that we would just stay close to him. So in summary, listen, fishers of men, followers fish. It's just that simple. Followers fish. And there is some correlation. You know, first of all, it's persistent. We're persistent because we know they're hungry. You get that conviction. People without God are hungry. And then just understand everybody does it different. Everybody does it different. But if I want to be a really good fisher of men, I need the best fishing guide there is. And I know who that is. It's Jesus. Amen? Amen. Amen. So God, thank you that to follow you, a natural outflow should be love for others, God. A compassion for people who are wandering through life, are lost, broken, confused. And God, I pray that our relationship with you comes alive. Blow on that flame inside of us, God. Open our eyes to see our coworkers and our neighbors and our relatives and to be alert to opportunities, God. Use us to help advance your kingdom. Give us the heart that you have for the lost and the broken, God. And that it's not a have to, but it's just a drive within us that cannot be contained. Awaken that passion within us, God, that was in so many of us when we first experienced you. Revive that. And give us the ability, God, to use wisdom how to reach people. Use different ideas to listen to your Holy Spirit, to say things, to do things that might bring that bait close enough to awaken their spiritual hunger. God, that your kingdom would be advanced. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's stand up. We'll pray for our offering. All right, we're going to close with a song here this morning, our last song, and we're going to open up the front if you want to come up and pray. You know, I just, before we finish, I just want to take a minute and just pray right now. Ask God if there's somebody in your life that he's bringing you in connection with, that he would like for you to begin praying about reaching them. I'm thinking some of us have got coworkers, neighbors, and we've been thinking about them, and I just believe the Holy Spirit wants to like enlighten them in our minds and then maybe start speaking to us about reaching them. So just take a minute here. Father, I just pray. God, there are people in our lives, our neighbors, our relatives, our coworkers. Just bring their face into our mind, bring their name into our mind, and God, I just pray you begin to awaken us with a compassion for them and a heart to just want to reach out to them. Just come, Holy Spirit. Use us. Use us this week, Father. In Jesus' name. Amen. Yep, so we're just going to open up the front. If you want to come up and just worship the Lord, if there's something you want to pray about, we just invite you to come forward as we close with our last song.
Jesus, you make the darkness tremble. in silence fear. Jesus, Jesus, you make the darkness tremble. Jesus, Jesus.
As it is in heaven. God, just go with us today.